Well, the boys and me, we're thick as thieves. We stick together just like glue. Yeah, we ride the range like a Dalton gang and raise hell like a pirate crew. We're one for all and all for one, compadres all the way. From your first shot of snake bite to your last dying day. We're thick as thieves, tight as a noose, close as a cone.
She comes around trying to track you down. We'll hide you out till the coast is clear. Yeah, we'll pick up the tab when times are bad and let you by when you're riding high. And back your hand to the very last man, sets you straight when you get out of line.
We're thick as thieves.
Damn tootin', we're as thick as thieves, but we're not physically thick as thieves. We're mentally thick as thieves. We're ideologically thick as thieves. And we march separately, but as Bob Miles says, when we decide to strike, we're gonna strike together, baby. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker. I hope you like that Confederate Railroad. That's absolutely one of my most favorite country western bands, Confederate Railroad. They just sort of say it like it is from a white working man's point of view. Well, it's a beautiful day here in the Midwest. Yeah, the sun's shining, there's hardly a cloud in the sky. On the snow, it's beautiful, but I want to tell you, when I got up this morning, it was 10 degrees. 10 degrees, man! Boy, oh boy, that's cold. Well, like I told my gal, I said, she said it was bitching about the cold. I said, well, hell, you could be up in Nome, Alaska. This would be warm. All the little Eskimo gals would be out there shaking their butts and having a good time. And she says, oh, you. We're at P.O. Box 401. That's where you send your mail and all the money. So I could live in a lifestyle I've always been used to. Not. Yeah, send your donations for the show. We appreciate that. And, you know, we buy books for prisoners, POWs, and stuff like that. Yeah, we got a few bills. I got a pretty big bill on that website. I don't know sometimes whether it's paying off. It's quite a bit every month. But anyhow, we're going to keep it going as long as we can. You know what they call a prison full of black criminals? Protective custody. You know, they talk about racism. That really is a lot of racism. And that's to keep them out of circulation. Just shove them in there, you know. No matter how unjust it is for a lot of them, you know, because this system will never admit it's racist, and none of these candy-ass Republican, white Christian Republicans are going to admit they're racist, you know. That's what I don't respect about these people, and that's what the blacks don't respect about them. And anytime I could sit down and talk to a black person, and I tell them exactly the way I feel about racial separation and everything, they come away respecting me. Hell yes, I've had it happen over and over and over again. Just like when I get, once in a while, got on black radio station and talk show. By the time I got done, there were more people, percentage-wise, agreeing with me on there than on a candy-ass white conservative station, which they're all candy-ass conservatives that are afraid of their shadow and afraid to tell the truth and afraid to admit they're racist. There's nothing wrong with being racist as long as you're racist for the right reason. You're racial separatist. You revere your race. You think your race has got a hell of a lot to offer to the world, and you believe it should be protected and should be advanced and should be multiplied. Now tell me what's hateful about that. Well, just before I came down here in the bunker, in the deep, dark bowels of the earth, I heard Obama. I got a radio set up, and, you know, I got radio set up all over the place, and also TV audio piped around to where I go from one room to the other, and I'm hearing different news broadcasts from different sources. Yeah, I got left wing playing in one room, right wing playing in the other room, the racist stuff in another room. Well, I walked out in the garage, and I got, of course, the radio out there running, and I heard old Bomsky on PBS. I know he's doing something about this the gun issue. Of course, this is going to drive all the conservatives crazy. Because, oh, my God, that nigga's going to take my gun. That African-American's going to take my gun. There's nothing gets them more excited than the rumor that the Negro is going to take my gun. Boys and girls, they stampede white people over stuff that is not happening now. It could happen in the future, maybe, but it'll take the U.S. Marines and the U.S. Army to do it. And I just don't quite see how that's going to work out. Well, you know, with what, 300 million guns in this country, and they're going to take them away? I want to still be around to see them try that. They might accomplish it, but they'll have to kill half the country to do it. Now, if you'll go down to any beer bar in the country today where there's a bunch of white people or good old boys, you're going to hear them whining, well, that nigga's going to take our guns. He's going to take our guns. I knew he's going to take our guns. That's what he's going to do, take our guns. Yeah, right. What I'm trying to figure out is what these white big mouth right wingers and stuff are really going to do. What will they do with a gun? I see them around, you know, where they have these auctions at the out here at the fairground, and sometimes they'll have 300-400 guns out there a couple of times a year to sell, and all these guys are all over there fawning. All these white guys are all fawning around, picking them up, loving them, kissing them, everything, you know, buying all these guns. What are they going to do with them? Hell, I don't think they'll do anything with them. They got a lot of bravado. Oh, man, you come around me, man, I'll blast them. Well, that's total bullshit. 90% of the white men are cowardly bastards, claiming they're going to be big and tough and shoot anybody that comes around and take their gun. Well, it's silly. It's silly. That's why you shouldn't hang around with those people. Or you can hang around with them and just sort of nod and smile, you know. And don't take them serious because don't get involved with it. Oh, yeah, I'll be right down there with you, man. We'll shoot it out with the sheriff. Yeah, I'm going to Oregon right now, boy. We'll show the federal people just like we did at Waco. Yeah, we'll show them. Yeah, at Ruby Ridge. Yeah, we'll show them. And several other places, everybody ran up there with their guns and stuff. Well, I'm telling you, you're a long time dead, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I still like Sam Houston's way of doing things. He said, that Santana's chasing me with a few thousand troops, and I'm going to go like I'm a chicken and run. And I'm going to run and run and run until my own men are about ready to leave me. And then I'm going to say, here's the spot, San Jacinto, Texas, and turn around and shoot the shit out of those Mexicans. You see, that's the way you got to think here. It's not going to be all at once. You're not going to confront the military and the state police and all those people. This is not the time. In fact, by the time comes, a hell of a lot of those people that are now looking to do you in are going to be on your side. You know, in the military and all that kind of stuff, you know. But it's got to get a lot shittier than it is. You got to get oppressed like the niggers. You got to get oppressed, and of course you don't realize it, but you're a white nigger. Yeah, you a white nigger and don't even know it. Oh, boy, what do we got going today? I got something I'm going to read to you. Yeah, it's sort of in-house right-wing stuff in the racial cause and some stuff you might not know about and you might find interesting. Somebody anonymously sent this to me. I know all the stuff that's in it. I know a lot more, but... Starts out, a guy named Will White Williams appeared on the scene in 92, as far as I know, as William Pierce's deputy and roving ambassador. Well, that's not true. Will White was in Vietnam, I think. I know he was in the service, and somehow he contacted me when he got out. And that was long before he went to work for Pierce. And he was looking for a job, and I've mentioned this before. I was talking to Ben Klassen of the Church of the Creator, and he said he needed somebody to help him run his operation in Otto, North Carolina. So I talked to Will Williams and said you might get a job down there, and he didn't have a job. He was quite happy. So he went down, and Ben Klassen hired him to work for him. And Will Williams moved into the camp there in Otto, North Carolina, with his wife. Yeah, so anyhow, I'll go on from there. Pierce, a PhD and former professor of engineering. Well, Pierce never practiced his education. He went to school for it, but he didn't practice it. PhD and former professor of engineering, ran the National Alliance. He was also the author, supposedly, of the Turner Diaries and Hunter, the editor of Vanguard magazine. Well, there were a lot of people who wrote for the Vanguard or National Alliance. Williams was advertised by Pierce as a former Green Beret and an all-around genius. He might have told me that he was a Green Beret, but I don't remember that. Could have been. But I can tell you one thing. I don't want to be too hard on him, but genius? No, he wasn't. Eventually, a white raceless comic book for young people was created by National Alliance, the title of which was White Will. The character looked like Williams and was based on him allegedly. I don't think I ever read that comic book. Shortly after his appearance, he was attacked in print by Harold Covington. Fatso. Well, that's nothing new. Harold Covington attacked about everybody that was any good, so that was a badge of honor to be attacked by Harold Covington. Author of March Up Country, a book. March Up Country was a pretty good book, I thought. If Covington stick to that kind of stuff, he'd be all right. But he gets to dabbling in politics, and he gets pretty nasty. A pessimistic but accurate view of America's future, that book. Covington accused Williams of being a Fed and degenerate. He seems to know a lot about Williams, but his charges were suspected of being overblown and paranoid. Well, I've never suspected Will Williams of being a federal informant. He did drink a lot, yeah, mostly beer, and he was a wife beater. Klassen called me and told me about that he liked to knock his wife around. So Klassen ran him off, fired him, and then he went down and got right in with Pierce. Now, Pierce knew he was a wife beater when he hired him, which doesn't speak very highly of Pierce. In late 1993, Williams visited me and my wife and stayed with us for a couple of days as a representative of Pierce. I remember that period of time because, well, he said this guy had written a book which kick-started the militia movement. Well, that was a waste of time. And Pierce was eager for me to join with him as a boss. Williams turned out to be a very unpleasant character, foul-mouthed and cartoonish form of racist hater. Extremely provocative, he talked about killing Jews and others in front of my wife. He knew that I was a friend of Louis Beam and asked if I would introduce him over the phone, which I did. I had known Louis Beam for a long time, since back in the 80s. The last time I met him was a few miles from Aryan Nations one day. We had a little private talk. That was back in the days when things were pretty hot. I haven't had contact with Louis Beam for a long time. I think it's because I quit the Christian Identity movement. He was always heavy into Christian Identity. And some of these Christian Identity people are as bad as radical Christians or Jews, that if you're not with them, if you quit their religion, like a Mormon quits being a Mormon, they'll turn around and a lot of times persecute you. So I haven't had really any contact with Louis Beam for a long time, and it's... Incidentally, a lot of people, and the right wing's never going to tell you this, but when Louis Beam and his wife fled to Mexico and was living in a Mormon colony, and somebody snitched on him, I guess, and the Mexican cops came in, raided the place, and there was a shootout, and his Louis Beam's wife shot a Mexican federal agent. Well, somehow Louis got back across the border, but she was in prison down there, and looked like she was going to be in for a long time. Well, I contacted the Mexico's federal office of, I forget what it was, immigration or what, or Justice Department in Mexico, and wrote them a letter about what this was all about. It had nothing to do with being anti-Mexico or Mexican. It had to do with being anti-U.S. government, because the government was causing so much trouble for patriotic people. Anyhow, I don't remember exactly how the letter went, but it had its effect, because they released Louis Beam's wife, and she made it back across the border. And I know it was because of that letter, and maybe some other letters, I don't know. But I never really got any thanks for that. And I didn't I didn't ask for it, really. But that's the way the right wing is. If you get on the outs with them, they treat you like a white nigger. happens all the time. Okay, he bemoaned the attacks on him by Harold Covington and showed me his Special Forces U.S. Army ID, which looked authentic, along with a photo of him in the uniform of the Green Beret with his rank of captain. Photo apparently genuine, but no name tag. WWW was slim, blonde, and athletic. He said he'd like to kill Covington for his attacks. I wouldn't waste a bullet on Covington. I couldn't think of anything worse than being in prison for life for blowing that big fat asshole away. It was really all he talked about during his visit, how much he'd like to kill him. Well, fortunately for him, he didn't do it, but he did end up suing Covington in civil court and won $100,000 judgment, and then proceeded to chase him around the country with lawyers to try to collect. So he had done something better than killing the guy. He had Covington on the run. He ran to, I don't know all the places he ran to. I don't remember. He ran to Texas and all over the place, and then finally ran up there to Washington State. And I checked on him once in a while. I had a female agent of mine infiltrate a print shop up there in Seattle where he was working or living in the back or something. These things are getting a little hard for me to remember because I don't write things down like that for obvious reasons. And she reported back to me what he was doing and this and that. And after Dees won the civil case against me, Covington did everything he could to destroy me. I mean, Dees couldn't destroy me because I never stopped printing the newspaper, never stopped doing what I did before. But Covington and the right wing did everything they could, spreading all kinds of nasty rumors to try to destroy Tom Metzger. Well, it never worked. And, I mean, obviously it had to probably have hurt me some, but didn't hurt me that much. But that shows you again what rats a lot of these people in the right wing can be. I mean, you're talking about Jews, you talk about niggers, you talk about Mexicans. Come on, talk about these two-faced right-wingers. Okay, he said, we went to a meeting of the National Alliance, his own organization, which he deliberately wrecked with boorish, ugly behavior. That day I called Pierce in West Virginia and told him that Williams was a very unpleasant and destructive character, and why would he have him as a representative. Well, I know this was going on because people, National Alliance members, hell, a lot of them were good friends of mine. They call me and say he come into a meeting and he spent the whole meeting attacking Tom Metzger and other people. Instead of promoting National Alliance, he was attacking everybody. Pierce was vague and apologetic. Well, Pierce was soft. There's no doubt about that. I hate to lie, you people worship Pierce, but I remember when they put they had a funeral for George Lincoln Rockwell at Arlington Cemetery, and Pierce, everybody said, "Where's Pierce?" Well, Pierce was hiding in a tree some distance from where they were having the ceremony. I mean, honest to God, he climbed up in a tree and hid, but he wanted to see it, but he didn't want to be there. So it's the truth. It happened. I said that I could not be associated with such a person as Will Williams, and to forget me as an associate, Pierce admitted that WWW had destroyed similar meetings in San Francisco and Las Vegas after the LA one I attended. So I forgot about it until a few months after Oklahoma City and the bombing at the Murrah Building, when Covington launched a new attack on Williams, identifying him as JD2, the real demo man of the Murrah Building, which was ridiculous. Ridiculous charge. His reasoning was very persuasive. WWW quickly sued him for defamation and got the default judgment described when Covington failed to show up for the hearing. Well, that was what it was. Yeah, I had forgotten that was what it was over. You accuse somebody of being a terrorist, you better have evidence. And why would he do it anyhow? He should have just kept his mouth shut. We know it was an inside operation, but just like other situations, Timothy McVeigh was a patsy, just like Oswald was a patsy. Timothy McVeigh definitely was in on something, but it was a minor part of it that was a cover for the big part of Clinton's little operation, similar to 9/11. Williams and Pierce bought the North Carolina property of the Church of the Creator after Ben Klassen committed suicide, and that was another shame of the right wing. All the Christian right wingers or leaders hated Klassen because he wasn't a Christian, and they attacked him for that reason. Well, after he committed suicide, several of them piled on again. Covington piled on and accused him of being a pedophile and all kinds of crazy stuff, which not one shred of evidence was ever produced to show that Ben Klassen was anything but an honorable man. And they accused him of being a homosexual. Well, I'm telling you, that's how vicious the right wing can be. More vicious than many Jews. Ben Klassen had every reason to commit suicide. I mean, you know, he had made a lot of money. He was the inventor of the electric can opener, which made him a lot of money. And he had dumped all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, into the Church of the Creator. He lost a big bundle down in a bank that failed in Texas, which I chided him about, that you don't put a lot of money in a bank down in Texas. He lost a couple of hundred thousand there, but he had put $200,000 or $300,000 or maybe more into the Church of the Creator. His wife had died, and he had a stroke or two. So he was in bad health. He'd spent all this money, and most of the people he'd recruited into the Church of the Creator turned out to be right-wing people that didn't do well and cheated him out of money and everything else. And so he was really on the ropes emotionally and psychologically, and so that's why he committed suicide. And I want to tell you, boys and girls, there's nothing dishonorable about suicide as long as it's done under honorable conditions. Suicide down through the Aryan, heathen, pagan times has always been an acceptable thing. Now, if it's dishonorable, that's one thing. But Ben Klassen did not commit suicide in a dishonorable act. Anybody that says he did is a goddamn liar. For Covington to make this big story up that he killed a kid and he was a pedophile and he was a homosexual, it's all absolute lies. Also, it goes on here, so it appeared Pierce could not control his own business partner. Well, evidently the guy who wrote this sort of believed that Covington crap. Pierce also, you know, Pierce bought that property, but he was forced to give it up by Dees. Dees threatened to sue him and go after the National Alliance if he didn't give up that property. So that's why Pierce got rid of that property in Otto, North Carolina. Pierce also obtained a Russian wife, and I guess I recall Williams telling me he had one too. Yes, he did. He left his wife he'd beaten up all the time and got himself a Russian wife. I'm pretty sure she left him too. I don't know how many wives he's had. And Pierce had two or three too. These guys seem to have a problem with having good relations with women. Whoever wrote this, and I do know who wrote it, but I'm not that familiar with the person. Talk about an FBI agent by the name of Finchley was portrayed for all those years. He was so destructive that it's a miracle he learned anything, but perhaps that was his true mission, to destroy and create hatred, confusion, and paralysis in the right wing. In that, he was successful, but Covington was right on in his accusations. Well, this guy seems to have some confidence in Harold Covington, which is ridiculous. Well, it says here, for almost 14 years, this Finchley lived in the world of hatred, bigotry, and violence. They always make these guys sound like supermen. I've had enough exposure to these federal informants to know that they're not supermen. In most cases, if anything goes a little wrong, they'll run like a scared chicken. This Finchley attended Klan rallies and meetings and button-down intellectual racist in business suits in the most upmarket hotels. Well, that meant he was well into David Duke's operations and the National Alliance big operations, where they insist on having these great big meetings and exposing every member they've got to informants. Let's see here. He met and hosted Holocaust deniers, like Canadian Ernest Zundel and British author David Irving. I like Ernest Zundel. I've been in his place many times in Canada. Supported him for a long time until he became embarrassed by having contact with Tom Metzger and cut off contact with him. Primarily after he teamed up and married this woman here in Tennessee, down in Pigeon Forge. Incidentally, Pigeon Forge is where Tom Anderson, a right-winger from the old days back in the 60s, had his headquarters. He was a famous right-winger. But David Irving, he's written all these books, but you see, what's the end result of these books? Is it just to clean up the image of Uncle Adolf? I mean, there's at least hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. I mean, you could say 6 million didn't get killed, but you're stuck with not only hundreds of thousands in the Eastern European theater that were killed, but on into Russia, where they, with all these pit killings. So I don't see what's the big gain, because before the Institute for Hysterical Review and Willis Cardo and these people, nobody hardly was talking about the Jews, the death of the Jews in Eastern Europe. There was hardly anything. But when they started the Institute for Hysterical Review, all of a sudden, bam, Spielberg and all of them hit the deal and spent hundreds of millions of dollars on movies and everything. The propaganda really started up until the Holocaust critics started up. There was nobody talking. I don't remember hearing anything about it in school in 50, I graduated in 56 in high school. I don't remember people talking about it in class about the 6 million and all that. But after the historical review started up and Irving got started and Zundel and a whole bunch of others, the whole lid blew off. And that led to all these Holocaust museums and everything else. So I think that both Ernst Zundel and David Irving were honest people. But I don't think it has really done us that much good as far as that. Made the Arabs happy. And you're not going to clean up Hitler's image, even if it was all a lie against him. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're fighting hundreds of millions of dollars in propaganda, and you're just going to have to go on. Hitler was a sort of a complicated politician, and that's what he was, a politician. Some of the things he did were very good. Some of the things he did were very bad. The good thing he did was to promote science in Germany, great scientific breakthroughs and so forth, and you know, the jets and all that kind of stuff, maybe even flying saucers, I don't know. But on the other side, he involved himself in a war that killed at least 55 million people. And a good share of them were white. You know, you forget about the six, if there were 6 million Jews, what about all the white people, God damn it? All the Poles and Czechs and Germans and British and Russians. You know, you can't forgive that. That didn't have to be any more than the First World War had to be. I get sick and tired of the apologists for this stuff, because they seem to gloss over millions of people dying, you know. Well, our side was right, man. No, it's our side was right. You're all wrong. You're all wrong. Okay, on with this Finchley, whoever he is. Infiltrating the right wing is a waste of time. I mean, you know, you may catch somebody. Once in a while, you may get somebody burned a cross on a Negro's yard or something. But for the most part, they wasted a hell of a lot of money infiltrating the right wing. He was there at cross burnings and street marches, waving a picket sign or a Confederate battle flag, and always shouting the loudest of any among the white supremacist cohorts. Now, I've never heard a white racist describe himself as a white supremacist. That is totally created by the system. But they make this Benchley or Finchley look like this great hero. Well, what the hell did that, you know, what did he accomplish by going to these racial get-togethers? How many guys did he actually bring to the ground? Maybe less than half a dozen. Maybe not even that. Think how much the federal government spent on that. He drank beer with skinhead gangs. Oh, boy, that's dangerous. Swap jokes with them about African Americans, otherwise known as niggers, Hispanics, and Jews, and heard them plot hate crimes and racial assaults. Well, you couldn't go to any of these outfits and not hear somebody plan in their mind to do the Jews in or do the Negroes in or do somebody in, but 99% of them never went through with any of that stuff. And it's not against the law to fantasize, or at least it used to be, wasn't. Maybe fantasizing today can get you arrested, but a conspiracy, you have to do something. You have to do something to further the conspiracy, and then something to actually move towards completing the conspiracy of blowing up something or shooting somebody or gassing somebody. You can't just say, well, I think all the Jews should be gassed. They can't arrest you for that. You can say, I think all the Democrats should be executed. They can't do anything about that. So you can hear that stuff any right-wing gathering there is. And so he heard all of it, but there's nothing he could do about it. He cruised the internet, posting racist messages to computer bulletin boards and news groups, making contacts with neo-Nazis and nationalist extremists the world over. In other words, he was trying to promote violence. This is what they're out to do. They're out to get you to go out and do something stupid so they can scoop you up and throw you into prison. And they're successful, especially in the right wing and the left wing. They don't just do it to the right wing. So anyhow, what do you think? All those computer bulletin boards and all these chat rooms that you love so much, you guys that love the chat rooms. Yeah. What's the one down south? Oh, hell, I forget. I try not to think about these big chat boards, Duke's chat board, all that kind of stuff, because it just attracts people. They talk big, and then they get in trouble. He infiltrated the inner consoles of almost every top hate group in the United States and even Europe. Well, he didn't infiltrate mine. Because I wasn't a group. I went lone wolf a long time ago. It's pretty hard to infiltrate me. It's happened, and I've learned about it. Luckily, I didn't get killed or go to jail. I learned about it early enough in my career to know how to defend myself against that kind of stuff. And so if you operate as an individual and keep people at arm's length, they don't have much of a way to get you or go after you or set you up. This guy even filed a libel suit against another white supremacist who claimed he was an FBI informant. Well, that should provide some of you old-timers some way of figuring out who this guy was. Be interesting to see what he's up to now. He's probably infiltrating the Muslims. Last month, FBI Special Agent James R. Finchley, a decorated Vietnam veteran, well, a lot of people are decorated for getting a barrel of oil drop on their foot. You can get I know guys that got purple hearts for something falling off a truck on their foot. Wait a minute. One of the best and bravest men ever to graduate out of Quantico, unquote. Horseshit. According to a former instructor at the world-famous FBI Academy who knew him and trained him. Well, what was his name that said this? They never have a name. Came in from the cold at last. After successfully carrying out the longest-running deep cover infiltration of any criminal or terrorist underworld in the history of the American law enforcement. It's Jesus Christ. I love it the way they talk about themselves, you know, the greatest guy that ever lived. Well, how many people did he actually run to the ground and put in prison? How many? Finchley's 14 years in the white racist underground produced only a handful of actual prosecutions, which means less than a dozen, probably less than 10. But that wasn't his primary mission. Oh, according to the former director of the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit at Quantico, Kenneth M. Lanning, he was there to listen and learn, and the wealth of information he obtained for us is beyond price. Well, you could write to these groups. They'd send you all the information you want. Well, Quote, it is not too much to say that we now know virtually everything there is to know about organized race hatred in this country. These guys, white supremacist activists and leaders, couldn't go to the can without us knowing about it, Lanning said. I love these guys. That's why they can't defeat ISIS. They can't defeat anybody. They can send the whole goddamn army of the United States over the Middle East, and they can't win. They can't stamp these people out. FBI Director Louis Frey, another asshole, probably a homo, I don't know for sure, was not available for comment. But U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, oh boy, there's a bitch, told a reporter, we usually do not make any public statement on covert operations of this nature until all the criminal cases associated with an investigation have been brought to conclusion. But I will say that the Special Agent Finchley displayed uncommon courage, resourcefulness, and initiative in a very complex and often dangerous situation. Yeah, that comes from a Janet Reno, the lesbian dyke bitch who was very successful in burning to death, roasting to death children and old people at Waco. She's a war criminal. Yeah, she's definitely a war criminal. But they'll never be convicted, these people. They'll never be brought to trial. George Bush Jr., they'll never be brought to trial. It's a sad situation. But they can kill hundreds of thousands of people. And here this Finchley's worried about one or two people that the right-wing racists might have killed, while they kill hundreds of thousands of people and talk about it glowingly, like Merkel and all these people. And who's that other bitch that was the attorney general that said that it was okay to bomb everybody, kill them all? The Jewess. But there are plenty of Christians in leadership that do the same thing, so you can't pile it all on the Jews like the right wing would like to do. With in every crime that I see going, there's usually Christians involved too. Not just Jews, Christian fundamentalists too, Christian preacher perverts and so forth. But they don't want to talk about that. They only want to talk about the Jews. Finchley's cover was so deep, he is reported to have actually married one woman who was involved in the white supremacist group he wanted to penetrate. On that occasion, he went to St. Petersburg, Russia, to meet and bring to America a Russian woman who was to be a mail-order bride of a nationally known white supremacist leader who was banned from entering the country because of his views. I never understood this mail-order bride stuff. If you're too much of an asshole to find a good woman in the country you live in, you're pretty sad. I was watching all these guys going, and Pierce and Will Williams and a lot more of these guys. Oh, I'm going to Russia and get a good woman that's better than American women. Well, most of those women divorce these guys pretty soon, and I don't blame them. If you can't find a good woman within 100 miles of where you live right now, you're a pretty piss poor white man. Finchley was so taken with the woman that he persuaded her to marry him instead, allegedly in order to keep her out of the clutches of the racist leader. All horseshit. Soon afterwards, he and his Russian wife amicably divorced, and Agent Finchley arranged for her to get a green card and relocate to Florida. You know what that means? The government gave her a pile of money. They gave her a payoff. She said, green card? Give me a green card? Give me a place to live in Florida and give me a pile of money? Hell yes. I'll testify against anybody. I forgot to turn on my recorder there. What measures were to be being taken to prevent retaliation by Finchley's former comrades in the racist movement? Don't worry about that. They never do. You can do almost anything to a right winger, and he won't do anything, or she won't do anything. Possibly the most bizarre event in Finchley's long-running undercover operation was when he was accused of having been involved in the Oklahoma City bombing as John Doe number 2 by the editor of a racist newspaper who had long suspected Finchley of being a federal agent. Finchley took an absolute unprecedented step. He sued the editor for libel and obtained an $110,000 default judgment when the defendant didn't show up in court to try the cases. That's another problem with the right wing. They don't go into court and they don't fight these things. I mean, you shouldn't get into a situation where you got to fight them, but if you do, you got to fight them to the bitter end, like I did. That civil case of mine in Portland, Oregon, you never heard it from the right wing that I took that all the way to the Supreme Court. That's right. And the right wing never gave me any credit for that. I think I'm the only guy, well-known racist in this country, that ever took a case all the way to the Supreme Court. They didn't hear it, but we took it there. So that shows you another reason why I'm not in the right wing. Quote, I don't know if he's been successful in collecting any of the money the judge awarded him, said Lanning. Well, of course, some guy had a little paper. He's not going to get $110,000 out of him. Well, I'm sure one of these days we'll know who this guy is. It doesn't excite me, except how phony they are and how boisterous they are and how they use Janet Reno as their sponsor of being such a great guy and so effective. And he snooped and traveled all over the world trying to bring down right-wingers, and he may have gotten two or three, maybe not even any, and married a Russian woman. I mean, you know, crazy, man, crazy. I guess it was Zundel that said that Finchley was one of the guys in John Doe number 2 at Oklahoma City. A lot of people yapping about Oklahoma City didn't know anything about it and should have kept their mouths shut because they were just wasting their time. It's been very well covered up, whatever happened there, by the Clinton mob. Actually, I think Hillary Clinton did it. Yeah, Hillary was the second person in that bomb truck. Anyhow, all this federal chest beating and Morris D's and his millionaire's law center that he's made a couple of $100 million off the stupid idiots. It's all sham, you know. They've only ever really got but a handful of people out of all this money that's been spent. And Morris D's made $7 million off my trial. And if you don't believe it, check his income tax records for that period of time, which I did. The black guy who got killed, of which I had nothing to do with, of course. Why would I go all the way to Oregon to kill a black person when there's Chicago here? I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, anyhow, what was I saying? I'll tell you one thing. If you ever want to meet a bunch of crooked, lying, sons of bitching cops, the worst I've ever run into were in Portland, Oregon. They're probably all retired by now. Now, one of the guys who was in on that investigation wrote a book about it. It's full of bullshit. Well, anyhow, that's about it for this. I didn't start out to do this, but I got carried away. It's fun. There's a lot more we could talk about, but not today. But when they want to know what went on in the right wing for the last 30 years, just ask me. I know pretty much where all the skeletons are, and it's sort of like the Keystone Kikes. A bunch of clowns and guys who are in it for the money. There's a lot of that. I don't understand it. Duke could make a fortune if he get into regular business and go to work for a corporation like his father was, Shell Oil Corporate. Why he would keep fooling around, tapping the till of the working people, white working people, and, you know, getting himself a doctorate and writing books. Probably they were ghostwritten and the whole bit. The right wing is just a total, total loss. I carry my electronic tape recorder with me everywhere I go, and I make notes. Sometimes the audio quality is not too great, but if you hear something on here that sounds a little funny, well, that's the reason.
I think that the Mormons and the Mennonites and the Amish would help us out? No. Even if they stay white, they're not white on the inside. My congressman's a Mennonite. He goes right along with the bullshit.
I wouldn't trust the average Christian as far as any average Jew. I mean, they've taken on the same kind of personalities.
Do you notice how stupid people are getting? And each generation, they're getting stupider.
What about veneer?
Muhammad Veneer is dead, Lake. Has been for 22 years.
We interviewed your departmental associates. We're concerned about these mood swings you've been suffering. The unpredictability of behavior.
Veneer, damn it!
There's a concern that you could become a liability to the agency.
Fuck you.
Calm down.
I'm a liability? You fucked this up just like you fucked up everything else. Fucked up Iran-Contra, fucked up Ames, fucked up 9/11, fucked up WMD, Afghanistan, Iraq, Benghazi. Not you yourself, of course, no. No, you're just the latest in a long line of fuck-ups who turned this agency into a cesspool of politics and special interests on behalf of the weapons makers and the surveillance industry who get richer while we get weaker.
Mr. Lake,
I could... I forgot more about this agency than you'll ever know. Who put you up to this?
Huh?
Who's got their hand in your pocket now? It's a million people like you. A million people. You got your head so far up Obama's ass you can't see anything except shit anymore. Shame on you.
Well, I don't know how well you could hear that, but that was Nicolas Cage in a film that's on Netflix now. I mentioned it, I think, and I forget the title. He's a older CIA agent they're trying to put out to the farm, and he's actually an honest one trying to go after this Arab terrorist that he knows is alive, and they're saying he's dead because it fits into their program. And this is where he confronts the head of the CIA and tells them what a bunch of assholes they were and how they fucked up everything. Well, that's what the kind of guy this Finchley was, or whatever his name was. They're all... Anyhow, that's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow. Wotan's Day. And if you think I'm a little nutsy today, well, not a Nazi. I'm a nutsy. Tune in tomorrow. Ha, ha, ha. 14-5.
Thank you.